Good job, Steve. Thank you very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And a while ago, we were giving away a fabulous prize to somebody. Kevin, you were on your honeymoon, and it was in Cherry, Illinois. And I said, that must be a mistake. Maybe you
thought...
That
was a street we thought, not a city.
Never heard of that. And then listeners were texting and calling in and said, really? You dummies, you've born and bred here in the Chicago metro area, and you never heard of the Cherry Mine disaster? And we looked at each other quizzically going, huh?
We were not aware of the Cherry Mine disaster.
We knew nothing about it. So then we found out Steve Stout wrote a book about the Cherry Mine disasters. And Steve, we spoke to you and learned a little about that. And this Sunday is the anniversary of that disaster?
Absolutely. It's the 107th anniversary of the Cherry Mine disaster, one of the worst coal mining disasters in Illinois and in Illinois history and the nation's history. 259 men and boys were killed in the coal mines underneath Cherry, Illinois.
Steve, I remember in our discussion with you a couple months ago, conditions were a little substandard. There was next to no safety precautions taken for this mine, correct?
Absolutely. It was one of the first mines in Illinois to have electrical power, but that... power plant went out a few weeks before the disaster, and the men just reverted to open flames, open illumination, Jeez. Candles, basically on their little hats, torches along the walls, and they went like 500 feet below the surface, miles away from the nearest exit, to dig with picks and shovels in the coal vein.
And was this, due to all these deaths, was this when kind of workman's comp kind of happened?
Yes. It was the first time in the state of Illinois that a company was held liable for the safety of its employees, and our current Illinois workman's compensation law derives right from that disaster.
And this weekend, as you mentioned, the 107th, I hate to say anniversary of it, but it happened 100...
Observance.
Okay, the Cherry Mine disaster. Will there be some kind of ceremony or observance going on in Cherry on Sunday?
Nothing too formal, but the churches in the area and some of the service groups do have memorials and prayers for the deceased miners. But at the 100th anniversary, there were thousands in the street during the anniversary day there, 7 years ago.
All right. Well, we learned about the Cherry Mine disaster from you. And then Starved Rock, I can't speak for Bill's family, but I think everybody at some point in their upbringing goes to Starved Rock. And you had mentioned that there was Starved Rock Killer, which I knew nothing about either. So we're going to learn about that right now.
On March 14th, 1960, three women from Riverside, Illinois, went to Starved Rock for a day of hiking. They checked into their rooms, ate lunch at the beautiful lodge that we have here in Utica, Illinois. They hiked out into St. Louis Canyon, and 2 days later they were found beaten to death in a crime that stunned the Illinois Valley here, shocked the entire state, the nation as well. And more importantly, it led to great and major changes in the way the state police investigates crime. Before Gacy, before Speck, it was the crime of the century here in Illinois.
All right. I grew up in Brookfield. I went to Riverside Brookfield High School. I'm really shocked. I have never heard of this before.
Oh, it's such sad news, and it's still in the news every year. The man convicted of one of the murders within the crime still is serving a life sentence. He's up for his 20th parole hearing next month, and Chester Wigger, the man convicted, is the longest serving inmate in Illinois Department of Corrections. That means he holds the record now of being in jail the longest of anybody in Illinois prisons.
Steve, explain this to us. This man, Chester Wigger, was found guilty on one murder count.
Yes.
All right. So how could it possibly be that these women traveling together probably murdered together, and yet they only found him guilty of murder in one of those cases?
Well, I believe that such a shocking crime back in 1960 was way, beyond the means of the prosecutors and the police departments at that time. So they were quite afraid that if they tried him for all three murders at once and he gets and they make some kind of technical error, that he would get off. So they decided to try him individually for the crimes. After he was found guilty of the one murder, of course, and sentenced to prison instead of the electric chair, what else could they do? They didn't think they would get death, so why go to the tremendous expense mm-hmm. of bringing him to trial for the other two murders when all they could hope for was a duplication of the life sentence?
Did he ever admit to the murders?
He did nine times on the day and the subsequent days of his arrest on November 17th, 1960. However, he saw his court-appointed attorney, and he has trying to convince everybody that he's innocent of the crime ever since. So he has not confessed since, well, in over 60 years, actually.
All right. And any motive behind this? I mean, after he did confess, did he just say, I mean, was there a motive?
The motive was robbery. He was later identified as a man who would rob visitors to the park, sneak by and grab purses and other factors. And he just thought that he worked at the lodge at the time. I believe his confessions. That he saw the women leave the lodge after their lunch at Starved Rock Lodge, such a beautiful place, followed them into the canyon and robbed them. And there's quite a lot of people here in the Illinois Valley think that Mr. Wigger is not guilty of the crime. But however, there has never been any documented real evidence to prove otherwise.
What are they basing that belief on, Steve? Is there a reason they don't think he's guilty?
Well, besides his dying confession, Bill, they just can't understand how one man can attack, intimidate, and kill three people who were of middle-aged women, you know, who were probably just a little bit larger than Mr. Wigger himself. How could he attack and intimidate and then ultimately kill three people? My explanation is you have to go and ask that question down in the canyon. It's one of the most beautiful places in the state of Illinois. It's really an altar to nation, nature itself, and 80-foot walls on three sides of you. They walked into the canyon. Chester blocked their path of retreat. He was not armed, according to his own testimony, and they were just intimidation, and it just robbery that got out of hand and ended up with their deaths. Very, very sad case here.
And were people going, did they not go to Starved Rock after that? I mean, was business going down
because
of that?
The murders. When I was writing my book a few years ago, I've talked to a lot of Chicago people about this, and they said, well, that's the reason, Steve, I don't go to Starved Rock, because once you had a murder there, and my reply is always, well, I don't go to Chicago because once you had a fire.
Oh. That's a good answer.
And plenty of murders to go around as well,
unfortunately. So a lot of times, Steve, when you get a terrible crime like this, it captivates the nation. What sort of play did this get nationwide? Was this just something that the Illinois Valley area was concerned about, or is this the kind of thing that everybody in America at some point had heard about?
This was front page news across the summer of 1960, not only across the nation, across the world. There were international reporters here at the trial and such, and it was international news around the world. It was just unheard of. It was before the words mass murderer really came into popularity within our vocabulary here in America. It was just shocking. And in a state park where you're supposed to feel safe, where you're supposed to feel one with nature, to have such a horrible thing happen here. I have to say this. I live right outside Starved Rock State Park. It's the crown jewel of state parks in Illinois. It's the only state park that turns a profit for the state, and we are well on our way to having the best attendance year ever here in Starved Rock. And we're very proud of our park, and it's a very safe place. And I want to invite all your listeners who have not come to Starved Rock to walk the trails, see our waterfalls, and see the one of the most majestic lodges here in the Midwest.
And this is the year 2016 right now that you're on par to break the record for people visiting, right?
Absolutely. It's been a great year for visitors.
And it's a mild fall, and it's just beginning. Trees are changing a little later because it's been warmer, so this would be the perfect time to go. Steve, we're going to take a quick break and find out a little bit more about both of his books, actually. It's called The Starved Rock Murders, also The Cherry Mine Disaster. One of them I don't think is available. We'll talk to you about that when we return. It's Steve Stout. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, we're learning about some of our Illinois history that I can't speak for you, Bill, but I really didn't know much about.
No, not really.
Author and Starved Rock country historian Steve Stout on the line with us. Your books, The Starved Rock Murders and The Cherry Mine Disaster. Now, we looked for these before when we spoke to you about The Cherry Mine Disaster. Is that book out of print?
Yeah, Black Damp. It's called Black Damp, the story of the Cherry Mine Disaster. I was lucky enough to write that historical novel based on the disaster back about 35, 40 years ago. And it's currently out of print, but there's a lot of libraries, and every now and then you can see it on eBay, just like you were talking about with the
Nintendo craziness.
Yeah. And I'm quite proud to say all the copies have been sold out. We may reprint in the near future. But there's still Starved Rock murder books available, and that's been out about 30 years and such. And there's always a tremendous interest in true crime stories. So I'm very proud to be associated with both of those tales. But I don't want to scare anybody away from the park with the tales of Starved Rock murders. It's a very safe place. It's a great place. And I tell people who don't live in the area, I said, I live where you vacation. So I'm a very lucky person to live here. And I also work at the Times newspaper in Ottawa, Illinois. I have for about 7 years now. So
as a writer.
Yes. And I'm very, as a staff writer, staff journalist. And I just am so fascinated with the history of the Illinois Valley here because Ottawa, Illinois, where I work, was the site of the first Lincoln-Douglas debates. I consider it the first shots fired in the Civil War. They were verbal shots, but we had the first debate here right in the park, Washington Square, right in downtown Ottawa. And we have the West Clocks Factory was here in La Salle, Peru, where they was the leader in wind-up alarm clocks, and they really changed the way America woke up. We had Lindbergh crash here north of Ottawa back right before his flight to Paris during a mail route accident between Peoria and Chicago when he was flying, and he crashed in the fog here. We've had some very interesting things speaking of Veterans Day. We've had a shipyard in Seneca, Illinois, which is very close to where I live, and they had 11,000 men and women working in this Prairie shipyard. They actually were building LST landing ship tanks, the boats that helped to win World War II. In fact, my father, who joined the Navy at the age of 17, he, after his basic training at Great Lakes, he caught his ship in Seneca, took it down the Illinois, down the Mississippi, Gulf of Mexico, across the Panama Canal, and out into the Pacific, where he was lining up with the other million or so men preparing for the invasion of Japan when we dropped
Wow.
the bombs. And so there's so much history here in the Illinois Valley and Starved Rock Country that a person like me can never learn it all, but quite fascinating. With I live in the area where actually we not only changed our own backyard, in the state, we changed the world.
Sure.
From here.
That is a lot of history.
A lot of history.
I'm a shipload of history if you wanted to.
I'm very excited that you guys always seem so interested. I've done other interviews where they pretend to be interested.
No, this is great stuff.
Well,
I can tell in your voice.
Because those other hosts are probably more knowledgeable than we are.
Maybe.
This is like we're just totally learning this for the first time, but it's fascinating.
I'm glad to help.
All right, we have Rose who wanted to jump in on the conversation. Rose, we're talking to Steve Stout. We're kind of talking about the Illinois Valley, the Starved Rock Murders, Black Damp, the Cherry Mine Disaster. What was your comment or question for Steve?
Well, actually, you're talking about two things that I'm familiar with. My mother would be 99 years old today, and she remembers talking about the Cherry Valley Mine Disaster. The Cherry Mine Disaster because she grew up in Tunica. as far as the Starved Rock murders, when I was, I'm 70, so I was a young girl when those murders took place. One of the women that was murdered was a relative of our neighbor's who lived up in Antioch. And I don't know if the name Oding means anything to you.
Do you know that name, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the
right. One of the women that was killed, right? Right.
Lillian and Oding.
Right. Yes. And her her brother lived up close to us. And I remember, you know, pictures are impressionable to a young child. And I remember looking at the paper, and they had a picture in there, if I'm not mistaken, that was taken by one of the women. And when they developed the film on the camera, they saw this gentleman standing in the trees. And that was how they helped to figure out who it was who had committed the murders. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. Actually, they developed the film out of the women's camera and did find the pictures taken on the hike before they were killed. The Eastman Kodak Company actually studied those negatives and out of the camera, and it ultimately was decided that there was a shadow of a double exposure. There wasn't really a capture of the man, but that was one of the stories that came out in the Chicago Tribune at the time, that the victims actually photographed their attacker. It wasn't true, but I've seen the picture a thousand times.
In my mind, I still can see that picture in my mind because it was published in the papers.
And it was also published in national magazines.
Did he not work at the lodge?
Yes, he was a dishwasher at the lodge, and he was on break at the time.
Not a good way to spend his break, I'll tell you.
No.
And
your caller,
Rose,
made me think that something I should mention of the women's names. They were Lillian Oding, Mildred Lindquist, and Frances Murphy. One of the sad parts about this story is it's not about who killed them. It's not about the victims. It's about where they were killed. And you'll be hard-pressed to find another murder case where the location of the murder is the most important thing, because it was a state park. And that's very sad.
It is pretty sad. Rose, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye, Rose.
Steve, go ahead. We had to let Rose go because we have to break for news.
Very sad that the location is what keeps this story alive. If they were killed in a parking lot or outside a building, we wouldn't be talking about the deaths of these three victims. We're only talking about it because of Starved Rock State Park, and that's always so strange to me. And I need to remind people that these were mothers, grandmothers. These were real people that were killed. And their deaths actually changed the system. The state police changed the way they investigate crimes because of the mistakes and the lessons learned in this case. It's very important in the annals of state police history.
And give these women's names again before we let you go, Steve.
Yeah, I would like to. Lillian Oding, Mildred Lindquist, and Frances Murphy. Friends, close friends, all from Riverside, Illinois. And I don't want anybody to forget their names.
Very nice of you, Steve. Great to talk to you again. His name again is Steve Stout. His books, Starved Rock Murders and the Cherry Mine Disaster.
Black Damp, the Cherry Mine
Black
Disaster.
Damp, yeah. A little hard to find, but worth it. Check your local library. They may have a copy. Thanks, Steve. Greatly appreciate it, like I said.
Well, thank you. If you ever have any questions about Starved Rock country history, please call on me, and I know we'll talk again.
You got it.
Oh, anything related to Illinois.
Talk about West Clock sometime.
All right.
The famous West Clock Factory.
That's perfect.
When you have the time.
Oh, I get it. He's good, that Steve. Thank you, Steve.
You're
Steve
right
Stout,
twice
everybody.
A day.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Wendy.
Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, a quick break, and then the other Steve, Steve Bertrand, with the news, and then some more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.